Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. First, let's finish this article about super agers. The people among us who's in their 80s and 90s stay sharp, retain their memories, have youthful energy, and enjoy life deeply. Let's continue to see how they do that. Decoding the magic formula. Why are superagers resistant to age-related decline to the point where their brains at age 90 function better than the average 60-year-olds? Three factors may be at play. Cognitive reserve. It's not that their brains don't age, it's just that superagers seem to be able to overcome the wear and tear that cognitively average people succumb to. Age-related issues, such as inflammation or clogged blood vessels. Post-mortem studies of the brains of superagers reveal that some have the clinical pathology of Alzheimer's disease, but never experience any of the symptoms. That is, some brains may have an added power that allows them to keep functioning well despite the presence of disease or the markers of cognitive decline. Since longer life and healthier cognition seem to run in families, it may be that this ability is genetic, but scientists don't know yet. That said, genes are like programs on a computer. Having those superager genes is the first step. But genes can be turned on or turned off by environmental factors and lifestyle choices. Life achievement. People with higher education levels or greater career attainment tend to have greater cognitive reserve, says Yakov Stern, professor of neurophysiology or neuropsychology at Columbia University Vagelos College of Physicians and Surgeons, who studies this aspect of brain health. But we don't know whether educational and career success increase the chance of becoming a superager, or whether the natural cognitive advantages of these folks simply make them more likely to succeed. Interestingly, a recent study conducted at Massachusetts General Hospital at Harvard Medical School found that higher educational achievement and more years of schooling could act as a protective factor and slow down cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's, even in individuals with strong genetic risks for dementia. On the other hand, it may be that the natural mental abilities of superagers make them more likely to set off on advanced studies or successful career trajectories, or to grab those late career brass rings. It's one of the factors researchers plan to study when looking at the impact of socioeconomics on superaging. Lifestyle. This may be the big one. Several clues are starting to emerge that draw parallels between the lifestyles of superagers. Healthy aging researchers have identified four common habits. A physically and intellectually active lifestyle. The willingness or ability to constantly challenge oneself. An active social life and a wide social network. Moderation in all indulgences, but allowing for the occasional glass of wine, for example. While myriad studies underway are probing the biological, genetic, and scientific underpinnings of superagers, lifestyle and environment remain significant and consistent factors that most likely contribute to superior aging. In addition to maintaining the above four habits, superagers make other lifestyle choices that seem to have an impact. Eating Mediterranean style. Lots of produce, not too much red meat. Daily exercise. And actively managing stress levels and mental health, issues are all shown to have a positive effect on cognition. Conversely, studies have documented the negative impacts of loneliness and social isolation, and even poor hearing and vision on cognitive health. Passively sitting back, watching television? Not on the list of things to do if you want to be a super ager. A strong social network doesn't mean you'll never get Alzheimer's disease, Rogalski says, but maintaining strong social networks could be on the list of healthy choices, like eating a certain diet and not smoking. Researchers concede there is much they still don't know about what makes a superager. For example, the medical problems and health-related concerns of superagers are comparable to the health profiles of normal agers. According to Rogalski, studies have shown that the use and types of medications superagers take are pretty much the same as those used by people with average memory for their age. And there are superagers who have a range of diseases, from lymphoma to osteoarthritis. Many use wheelchairs, despite their excellent cognitive health. Not all cognitive superagers are also physically exceptional, says researchers Angela Roberts of the Canadian Center for Aging and Activity. Roberts and her team have been collecting data on lifestyle factors by attaching wearable sensors to study superagers. Though findings are preliminary, they show that superagers in the study do 60 minutes a day of moderate to vigorous physical activity, some as much as 90 minutes, which is well above the 150 minutes a week that's generally recommended for older adults. Sensors also show that superagers tend to get more high-quality, uninterrupted regular sleep than non-superagers. Researchers are starting to look at other factors, including the vascular and cardiac health of superagers versus non-superagers, given that vascular health is critical to how the brain ages. Researchers suspect that the cardiovascular systems of superagers may be more dynamic than those of typical people their age. They also hypothesize that superagers may have a protective pathway of sorts that may affect the development of dementia and other aspects of health. The idea is, as we age, our entire system becomes less dynamically responsive, Robert says. We are exploring the genetic and lifestyle factors that help people age exceptionally from a cognitive perspective. Hitting the big 100. Some scientists say the best chance of understanding superagers may come from studying the oldest of this cohort. That's the premise behind the Superagers Family Study, which was started last year, led by the American Federation for Aging Research and Albert Einstein College of Medicine in collaboration with Boston University School of Medicine. It has an ambitious goal to enroll 10,000 individuals who are 95 and older and their children. The mission is to identify inherited and behavioral and environmental factors that protect against human aging and related disease as individuals near the century mark. About 1 in 4,000 Americans are 100 or older, according to Census Bureau statistics. Some of these individuals have the cognitive functioning of people who are 30 years younger, says Thomas T. Pearls, a geriatrician at Boston University and founder and director of the New England Centenarian Study. They're the creme de la creme of our population, Pearls says. What's special in these people is that they have some protective genes that slow aging and decrease the risk for age-related diseases like Alzheimer's. Indeed, findings from a recent study of centenarians in the Netherlands show that if someone reaches 100 with their cognitive abilities intact, they are likely to remain cognitively superior, except for a slight memory loss. This was true even if an examination of their brains after death showed the tau and amyloid plaque associated with Alzheimer's. Turning 100 was a big deal for Boca Raton, Florida superager Phil Horowitz and his family, including his two children, 6 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and a far-flung network of nieces and nephews. Disclosure, Horowitz, now 102, is this writer's uncle. Longevity runs in Horowitz's family. His mother died at 104. His 4 siblings lived well into their 90s. The youngest, a set of twins, are both still alive at 100. But none have the cognitive health or vitality that Horowitz does. The centenarian retired to Florida years ago with his wife Estelle, who died 2 years ago. Now he lives alone, but his children fly down often, and his grandson, who lives nearby, visits all the time. Horowitz plays poker and teaches Yiddish once a week to a group of residents in his assisted living facility. Last year, he completed his memoir, written in longhand cursive. He admits he started on a computer, then mistakenly erased everything and decided to go the old-fashioned route. I have a good memory for dates, he says, so I decided to write my memoir chronologically, starting when I was 7 years old. At 91, Frances Ito packs her schedule with gardening, online Tai Chi, weekly jam sessions with other musicians, art projects, Bible class via Zoom, volunteering at her church, exercise, and movie making, which she took up in her late 70s. During the pandemic, Ito discovered the joy of reading and finished 20 books, biographies, nonfiction, and histories. Despite cardiac issues and a few other health problems, Ito's vitality and engagement earned her a spot in the University of Southern California's Super Agers program. From learning the ukulele, an homage to her state, home state of Hawaii, to growing fruits and vegetables on her drought-resistant front lawn, Ito refuses to surrender to aging. She's having too much fun. Her latest film, The Purpose-Driven Life, about her experience as a super ager, was released in May. I think the secret is attitude, she says of her cognitive health. Perhaps. What we do know is that becoming a super ager is the result of a complex combination of factors that account for superior memory and cognitive health. The hard part is proving it, says Claudia Kawas, an investigator for the 90-plus study. Everyone wants to be one thing, like blueberries or crossword puzzles. I don't think that's simple. A good diet matters. Get as much education as you can. It doesn't mean Nobel laureates don't get Alzheimer's, but at a lower rate. It confers lifelong preventions through some mechanism that we don't understand yet. Currently, there is no way to predict who will be a super ager with any degree of certainty when someone is younger. 40, 50, or even 60. Those are open questions at this point, but future directions for sure. Hudelman says, more likely is that within the next decade, researchers will learn which genes may play a role in making someone a super ager to better understand the optimal pathways for aging well and ways we can slow or prevent age-related diseases such as dementia. We will know how they stay on that course and what components might be identifiable based on lifestyle and other factors, Robert said. Look at Nobel winner Vernon Smith, who has spent his life working on economic theorems and academics and has 3 degrees, including a doctorate from Harvard in economics. His passion remains his profession. Despite his enormous workload, he won't consider retiring. Why would I do that? Smith says. I would just do the same thing I'm doing now, and I wouldn't get paid for it. I have an ancestor who lived to be 105. I want to live at least to 106. So we have 2 more super agers speak. 1, William Shatner, 92, actor, author, at age 90. Astronaut, secret weapon, a passion for the future. My concern is about my children and grandchildren and the life they will lead, given what we know is happening. Traveling into space is a gigantic emotional experience. The truth of it is, I felt great grief as I realized how so many things are going extinct while you and I are talking. I saw the beauty of the world and the harshness of space and realized what we are doing to our Earth is so ugly. And finally, Betty Saar, 96, an artist with 2023 solo exhibitions in Boston and Lucerne, Switzerland. Secret weapons, gardening, and artwork. I love gardening. My mother was an avid gardener, and I think I've passed that on to my daughters as well. I look forward to eating good food, resting, and looking up at the moon and the stars. I don't think about my age when I'm making art. Ideas for art are always young. Now, this article has been by Jean Doran McDowell, who writes about health, science, and social issues for such publications as National Geographic, Smithsonian, and Scientific American. Previously, she was a correspondent for Time magazine. Now, moving on to quite a different subject, under Fraud Watch, can a crook steal your entire home? Yes, via a rising fraud involving bogus deeds. Stealing a wallet, a cell phone, a car, these are threats we all understand. A thief grabs and flees. But in a rising form of fraud known as deed theft, criminals have found a way to steal no less than your home and land. Though it is still a relatively uncommon scam, deed theft cases are popping up across the country. There are two typical variations. In the first type, thieves forge a deed that transfers ownership of a property to them. They file the deed with a county clerk who records the sale. Then the property is quickly sold to an unsuspecting purchaser. In the second type, crooks trick a homeowner into signing a deed to transfer ownership, often by promising help refinancing a mortgage or paying overdue property taxes. Shirley Gibson, 88, is among those who have been targeted. She owns an empty plot of land in a historically African-American section of Miami. In 2021, Gibson went to pay her taxes and learned that they had already been paid by a stranger. Property records showed she had sold the land for $230,000. Scammers had forged her signature, created a fake deed, and taken her land. Gibson immediately hired an attorney and filed a complaint with law enforcement. I guess they thought because I'm old and an African American, they would be able to pull that off, Gibson said. They were wrong. Two men and a woman were arrested and faced criminal charges related to the scam. Still, Gibson had to go through a complicated civil court process to get her property back, and anxiety lingers. You have to be very vigilant, she said. They might try it again. Other recent deed fraud cases include, in Washington, D.C., Robert McLeod used fake driver's licenses to pose as two older homeowners who had paid off mortgages. In both cases, McLeod assumed the owner's identities and transferred the deeds of their homes so he could sell them. His scam netted more than $580,000 before he was caught and sent to prison for 18 months. In another Miami case, prosecutors say Tom Roy Jenkins used a fake driver's license and drew up fake documents to pose as the son of a woman in a nursing home, illegally transferring her house to him and then trying to sell it. Jenkins has pleaded not guilty to felony charges. In New York City alone, there have been more than 3,400 recorded complaints of deed theft since 2014, according to the state's attorney general. Older people are often at risk to be targeted, said J. N. Wald, director of economic justice litigation at Legal Services NYC, which helps deed scam victims. That's because they more often own their homes outright. Those who buy a property from a deed theft scammer often become victims as well. Greg Bujaj bought a parcel of land in Fairfield, Connecticut, from a man who claimed to be the owner. Bujaj and his partner started work on a 4,000-square-foot home they planned to sell, but it turned out the real property owner was a Long Island doctor who only found out about the fraud when told someone was building a house on his land. The case is tied up in court. Bujaj said, through his lawyer, that he may never fully recoup the hundreds of thousands of dollars he paid out of pocket on the project. Maureen Kokias in the New York City's Sheriff's Office says many can't afford a civil lawsuit, which is often needed to regain property ownership. Unfortunately, getting your property back often comes down to dollars and cents, Kokias says. And here's property deeds, four things that you should know. What it is. A property deed is a document that transfers ownership from one person to another. Typically, your home deed is held by a local government land records office. Whose name is on it? If you own the home outright, it will be yours, and perhaps your spouse's. If you have a mortgage, it varies by state. In some, your name is still on the deed, but the bank has a lien on the property. In other states, the bank holds the deed until the loan is paid off. How to protect it? It takes your signature to finalize the transfer of a property. Never sign a real estate document under pressure. Take documents to a reputable lawyer to be clear what you are signing. And finally, what else to watch for? Never disregard mail, especially tax and other home-related documents, sent to another name at your address. That could suggest someone has illegally transferred your deed to their name. Now, on a lighter note, let's look at AARP, the magazine, up front of the A-list, Six Life Lessons from Kira Sedgwick. 1. Remember becoming you. About my show, The Summer I Turned Pretty. When I was 12, I was at camp in this new bathing suit, and all the boys were suddenly looking at me. I was a real tomboy, and I thought, oh my God, what's that? I just turned totally red and flew my body into the pool. But I can remember so vividly feeling very autonomous, very much like my body was mine. 2. Change direction. My husband, Kevin Bacon, was like, why aren't you directing? I'm such a huge film buff, and as an actor for so long, I've gotten to see it done well and not well, and I want to do it well. But Kevin said it enough, and I finally agreed. Directing is my main focus, and I love it. You're a much bigger part of the storytelling, involved in every single facet. Spark your relationship. The key for Kevin and me has been to find something interesting outside of our comfort zone and bring it back into the relationship. A book or a new animal, a way of seeing the world. Photographing our farm has definitely helped. The goats and alpacas, horses, pigs, they're all just endlessly fun and interesting to watch. 4, favor love. I'm a real big fan of seeing people fall in love on screen. It can even be cartoon characters or animals. But seeing love blossom, I'm totally in. My favorite, though, is the Philadelphia Story. Like, wow, they're bickering, but they really like each other. That's just fun and cool. 5, let go on Sundays. One of the things I post on Instagram is Sunday Saddies, which is about that creeping feeling of despair and desolation that sometimes happens on a Sunday and how to get out of it. The headline for me is, never contemplate your life on a Sunday, as she laughs. And finally, dream big. My dream rom-com co-star crush would be Oliver Platt. I've always thought that even before his Bear resurrection, he's so tall, so witty, and I just think we could have a sexy mind thing as well as a physical thing. This article was as told to Gail Jo Carter. Golden Globe winner Kira Sedgwick, 58, stars in season 2 of Prime Video's The Summer I Turned Pretty, and she directed an episode of the forthcoming HBO series The Girls on the Bus. And from Upfront Go, secrets from a flight attendant. Keep your cool this fall with these smart tips from a veteran of the skies. Last year's holiday travel season made news for all the wrong reasons, as delayed flights caused frustrations for many travelers. Heather Poole, 52, a longtime flight attendant and author of Cruising Altitude, tales of crash pads, crew drama, and crazy passengers at 35,000 feet offers advice on how to make your trip more pleasant. Allow for screw-up time. The only thing consistent about air travel today is inconsistency. Leave 2 days early if you're heading to a special event. Schedule connecting flights with layovers of at least 90 minutes. Book early flights so you have all day to deal with whatever might go wrong. Download before you go. The airline's app is where you'll find flight info, your boarding pass, and in-flight entertainment. I also like the FAA Wait app. One tap shows which airports are experiencing delays. Pack like a pro. Flight attendants travel with only a rolling carry-on and a tote bag. Just pack black clothes and be done with it. Bring only 2 pairs of shoes. If you leave something at home, use this as an excuse to buy something new. Scan security. A short line may not be the best path. A long line of frequent travelers, look for solo passengers holding laptops, will move faster than a line with a family with a baby. Be sure to eat. With air travel, you can never be certain when you'll get your next meal. And don't forget to share packaged snacks with the crew. There could be more attention in it for you. Always bring a sweater. Airplanes are like movie theaters. They're freezing. And wear sneakers to move quickly through the airport. Closed shoes have another benefit. That isn't always water on the restroom floor. Make eye contact. Say hello, please, and thank you to your flight attendants. Courteous passengers are the ones I go above and beyond for. To make a flight attendant's day, say, I don't know how you do it. It's nice being seen. Coffee chain gift cards are nice, too. Let it go. You can't control delays, cancellations, bad weather, your seatmate's arm, hair rubbing against you, the smell of tuna 2 rows behind you, or a crying baby across the aisle. Getting stressed out will only ruin your trip. Do what I do and create a playlist of calming music. And then we have a short article here on sleeping in is the new going out. Hotels add tech and other features for better slumber. Hotels are waking up to the idea that what many vacationers want is a good night's sleep. Enter sleep tourism with new amenities in some rooms. Special lighting, subtle night illumination, and lamps that can dim can help you sleep, and lights that stimulate dawn can help you awaken slowly. Aromatherapy, this includes essential oil diffusers, which can promote restfulness, and a special choice of pillows and blankets. So lots of new things there. Well, folks, we have run out of time again for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.